You might not hear it here first, but the conversation here is different because it includes you. Politics, diversity, religion, social justice, and what the hell were you thinking moments. Thought-provoking, inspirational, and sometimes shocking. Welcome to the Winner's Circle. Annette Lateague is here. It's time for Word on the Curb.
I am Annette, and I am your host here at Word on the Curb podcast. You can see us on Facebook at Black Girls Locker Room, What Trenton Really Makes, and Word on the Curb. You can also see us on YouTube, and we'll be on TikTok post the show, after the show. Please, on YouTube, hit the like, subscribe, share, and ring the bell. This is one of those occasions where we want you to put all of our business in the street. I'd like to introduce my guest tonight, and I am going to begin with Charity. Charity, tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? Before I do, let me remind the audience who will come on now and later. This podcast is as a direct result of a past podcast where we had the men on, and they talked about everything from sports to business to their lives. And one of the things that came up was love language. And the discussion was that they knew our love language and they understood that they had to learn it if they didn't, but they didn't think we understood or knew theirs, or even thought that they had one. So that is our topic of discussion tonight. To every parent out there who has lost a child, you have my deepest condolences, and I wish you comfort and courage in this difficult time. For those of you who have small businesses, thank you, because small businesses make America thrive. Don't give up. Tonight, I have Charity. Charity, tell us a little bit about you. Make sure you hydrate. Make sure, coconut water is my favorite. You hydrate, moisturize your feet, hands, and face, and mind your business. Go ahead, Charity.
I don't know how to come in after that, but my name is Charity. I'm a mother of two. I have a business called Dates Galore. I have a platform on YouTube where I discuss relationship topics. So I'm really, really interested in having this discussion, this love language. That's my thing. My goal with my business is to bring awareness, like yourself, Annette, with this love language podcast, and just share different perspectives with relationships and offer those different options that we could do to resolve issues that we experience in relationships. Because there's a lot of people talking about, well, date multiple people. And let me say for the record, I'm not against that. But I don't think that we should be talking to people as if they don't have experiences, and that we know their life experience, like locations, a lot of things matter with dating. So I really am excited to do this. Can you see me? Okay.
Yes.
My computer blacked out for a minute.
So I'm happy to have you. And Dating Galore is something that we can get into a little bit more in other podcasts, because one of the things that I am doing virtually is talking about femininity and how women, you know, can be more feminine in the things that they're doing and how they grow their relationships, and understanding that if you swim in a pond where multiple others are swimming, you can expect that sooner or later you're going to bump into somebody. So thank you for that. Dating Galore is exciting for me. Jasmine, please.
So hi, everyone. My name is Jasmine, and I am a caterer. I own a business with my husband. We are called the Ingram Kingdom Mobile Kitchen. We have been in the business for about 6 years now. We mostly cater to group events, and we're looking to actually you know, open up a storefront eventually, like a takeout kind of thing. So be on the lookout for that. I am also currently in school for my doctorate. And what else? I have a lot going on. But yeah, so I've been married for, it'll be 7 years in September. We've been together for 13 years. And I am also excited about this topic, his love language. I think a lot of times we focus on her love language because we are by nature more emotional. We need a little bit more than men. Well, that's the typical stereotype, but I am excited to discuss this topic because it's needed. And I think it's absent in the dating world, the couple's world, marriage, whatever state that you're in. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the discussion is real. And I'm going to kick it off because I believe, honestly, that the gentleman who spoke, and there were two of them, there were three on the podcast, and two of them spoke to love language and how important it is and knowing, you know, their mate's love language. And one of them particularly asked, but do you know ours? Do you understand that we have one? And I'm going to start by saying yes, and I'll come in after Jasna and then Chastity. Jasna, what do you think love language means?
So I would think my definition of love language would mean the essence of communicating without it being any type of sexual initiation or orientation behind it, getting through to your partner in ways that we don't talk about. So that will sum up my definition of what a love language would be.
Do you think most women know that men have a love language?
No, I think that majority of women, you know, we come to the forefront with all of our emotions, but men do not in most cases. And, you know, we deem it as us being, you know, the more vulnerable one, the more emotional one. And honestly, men don't communicate like what a love language, honestly, men don't know what love language is, because I think that we talk more about it than they do. And nowadays it's missing because men do want to be a little bit more vulnerable, you know, due to social media and, you know, what society says that you're supposed to be. But I do think men do have love languages, and we need to talk about them a little bit more.
Okay. Chastity?
Yes, Charity.
Charity.
You got a little Chastity. Charity.
Forgive me.
No worries. I have to piggyback off of what Janice, did I say your name right?
Jasna.
Jasna said. I don't often think about what the male's love language is, but it's something that I'm looking to practice. And love languages are spoken when we speak to everyone. That's what we forget. Like I, for example, I've used a love language with my son. His is affirmation, because he gets so turned off when he hears me speak in a negative way. So I have to be more conscious. Although I'm trying to convey something to him, all he hears is me being petty or complaining about an act that he did. And I'm like, let me pull this in and make sure I, you know, speak positively. And so it's a conscious thing.
Love language is definitely conscious. And do you think women understand that men have a love language? Do you think they know that? Or do you believe there is a love language for men?
I don't think we talk about it enough. I think like this, that's why I'm really enjoying this conversation, because we don't talk about what the man's love language is. So okay. We give advice on how he's not doing what he should be doing, but then again, we may not be speaking his love language, and that could be a reason why we're not getting what we desire.
I think that's really, really interesting. Not getting what you desire. I think that's important. And I'd like to kick off and kick in here and say that I absolutely do understand that men have a love language. I absolutely know that most men don't know what their love language is. And that's from having 7 brothers and a husband. So I know, you know, I know. I've been married once, divorced once. Been married again, been married twice, divorced once and widowed once. So I know from my experience of being the younger sister and having brothers that men absolutely do have a love language. Most times due to failure of nurturing that first within themselves. Because see, our love language is easy. We know what we need. We know what we want, right? And we're not afraid to say, hey, you know, look, you know what love language looks like to me? When you walk in the door, you say, hey, babe, I missed you today. I was thinking about you. And here is a little love note I wrote for you, right? So So we get that. That kind of stuff is easy enough for us, if you will. What's difficult, I think, with men is that they misunderstand sometimes, and I stand to be corrected. There are definitely comments here to which you guys and anybody else can use to comment, and we have a few people on.
Okay.
And so I think that they fail to communicate what it is they need because they don't want to be vulnerable, you know, and they've confused the need to express themselves with the need to be masculine. So sometimes it's a little difficult for them to say, you know, hey, babe, every now and then, you know, a little, hey, sexy, what's up with you? Means a lot to me. They don't know how to say that. So I think as we get into this topic a little bit more, and I want to delve into it, right? With my husband, my love language was football. And that may sound strange to some. But it's the reason I became a Cowboy fan, because I love the Cowboys. Let me get that out there.
Okay.
But my husband was an Eagle fan. And then being in an opposite team allowed me to communicate with him in a way through football that whether he was having a good day, a bad day, an in-between day, we could always meet on the field and have the discussion, if you will. So I learned early on, having brothers and a father in the home and being married twice, that love language is important and it swings both ways. And Charity, you said something really important. You said that love language even extends to your son. I like that. Because in order for him to know, he's going to learn from what he sees in his home and hears. So thanks for sharing that. You know, and so Chastity, I want you to jump back in and talk to me a little bit about love language, girl. How do you express it? What do you think about it? What would
Charity.
Charity. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep calling you Chastity. Charity. Charity is in giving and loving and kind. Charity. Okay, Charity. So tell us, kick in. What do you think?
What was the question again?
What do you think about love language? How do you express it? What would you take to it or bring to it or take away from it, add to it, whatever? How do you express your love language? What does it look like for you?
Oh, you about to open a can of worms.
Open the can, girl.
You're really about to do it.
Come on. So first we have somebody on here saying facts. And the other one says, I think we know everyone has a love language. It is just a little more difficult to determine what theirs is. Another one says hello. Another one says, yes, women know, but men usually put it out like women. I don't believe that men know how to identify their love language. I agree with that. Write Sharon. So Sharon's on here. And then it says, write Annette Latigue. And it says, hello, Charity Lee.
Hey, there, my
childhood neighbor.
Neighbor.
Faircrest. Hey, Faircrest crew. Go ahead, Charity. Kick it, baby. Oh,
okay, so I'm on the ledge with you right now.
Come on, jump.
Be gentle. Be gentle. I myself realize that sometimes I don't even know my love language. I may not know what I need in the moment. That love language thing varies day to day.
Okay. Like,
I've read that it can change by the season. You have one primary love language, but you need to check in with me on the daily, because yesterday's love language is not today's love language.
Okay. You
know? So today I might need a touch. Yesterday I need affirmations. So I need that constant check-in, and I'm constantly changing, like my need changes. So that's my.
I think that's okay.
Thank you, girl.
I think that's totally okay. I think when we talk about love languages and then we talk about how men either don't identify what their love language is or they don't know what that is, I think that we put it in a box. And it shouldn't be in a box, because to your point, Charity, there may be love languages in 24 hours that I don't want in the next 24 hours, or, you know, signs of affection, or I don't know, affirmation, like you said earlier. So I think it's important to identify that for you, because everyone is different and every couple is different. You know, when you're talking about couples in its entirety. So I think that's okay. I think that's totally fine when it comes to love language, because it's so broad. You know, it can expand and expand and expand. And I think that's healthy.
Okay. Yeah. And I agree. Charity made a good point. It changes. It flows. Just like his flows. It flows. Mm-hmm. His doesn't flow as much as ours, perhaps, but it flows. Once, you know, we identify something with him or for him, it flows. And so Shauna says that she was saying it's difficult to determine what a man's love language is. And it is, because they don't share and they're not as open as we are. And that's a fact, fellas. We're not picking on you. That's just a reality. You don't share and you're not as open as we are. Most of you, some of you, a few might be, but not the majority. And so, as not to confuse the men, let's get down to the basics of what your love language is. The basics. So it may be basics being plural. It may be today it's the, remember, it's a non-touch type language typically. So today it might be write me a love letter. You know,
well, that sometimes term. It is physical touch. That's a love language.
That's a given, but that's a given. That's an absolute given. The physical touch is a love language. So the obvious aside, let's have the discussion.
Go ahead, Charity.
No, I just wanted to say that in the men defense, I don't think that everyone knows about this structure of identifying the love languages. I think they just, we kind of like blurt things out that, hey, he's not doing this and I wanted her to do this, or she's looking a mess, or he ain't doing this, the trash is, he ain't pick his drawers up. We do that and we don't have this structure where it's categorized as, you know, quality time, physical touch. And if you don't know that, we definitely ain't talking.
Right.
1 second, Linda, I gotta pick this pizza up, girl, because this drink, this iced tea ain't gonna cut it.
Go right ahead.
Right back.
Yep, go right ahead.
So I think
it's communication.
definitely. And I think it's consistent communication too. Mm-hmm. So you have to consistently communicate with your partner and understanding what that is. Maybe your partner needs help identifying that love language, whether it be, you know, whatever side. It doesn't always have to be men. You know, some women don't understand what their love language is, and they need, you know, their partner to kind of bring that out of them. And then it's also learning your partner and understanding them as well. So like for my husband, I had to learn some of his love languages, and I'm still learning, you know. Right. We've known each other and been together for 13 years, but it's, you know, as you get older, you change. So that's also a part of it as well. And I think, so one of his love languages is, you know, me kind of listening to him. And so I'm a person where one of my love languages is gifting. And I also love receiving gifts, but I love gifting people as well. I love seeing them happy with, you know, a thoughtful gift or someone just thinking about them on random. And I do that with my husband. So, for example, you know, he may have mentioned to me a couple of months ago or even last year that he wanted to fly a plane. And I'm like, okay, well, you want to be a pilot? Great for you, right? So I researched and found a place where he could actually fly a plane. And that's what we did. So, you know, kind of listening to your partner and, you know, just kind of surprising them, them not knowing that, oh, you were actually listening. Yes, I was. Yes. I was listening. We're doing it and we're going to have a good time. So that's one of my husband's love languages that I've noticed. He has a couple of more, but that's just an example. So listening to your partner and understanding what that is like the bigger picture of it all, no matter what the love language is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I want to take a second here to shout out my producer at Trenton Waves, New Pod City, Frank Sasso, and his wife, Christina Sasso. And Frank says, some men do know their love language. We had dinner mm-hmm. tonight. It was great. And we had the conversation. And so he's right. Some men do know, because Frank and his wife communicate very well. The Sassos communicate well. And he's very interested in her language as she is in his. So I just mm-hmm. want to shout them out tonight and thank them for being my producer and tell all of you to check out Trenton Waves. They're the reason I'm here tonight, and Jasmine, they're very interested in meeting you. And okay.
Yeah, hi, producers.
I want to know where I'm going. and who those people are. But Charity, come on. What were you going to say?
I don't think I was going to say anything. I was just listening to the shout outs to the producers.
Yes.
And yes. Also, admiring, to piggyback off, I'm about to butcher your name again, Jasna.
Yes.
Yep, you got it.
Ooh, pull the pom-poms out. Often those languages are shared with us through conversations. So high five mm-hmm. on the listening. I love that. I also dated
And I had to learn that, right?
So yeah, learning. Girl.
I had mm-hmm. to learn that. Like I'm learning, yeah. Okay, well, let me listen to this. This may be, you know, good. So, yeah.
Yes. I've noticed when women aren't the only, it's not just women who like to speak. Men like to speak too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I got to slow that roll up and let him go ahead and, you know, even though I might be somewhere else here, you know. I just try to stay active because, hey, that's the love language, affirmations and listening. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And so, even with men who don't like to talk, because most of them don't, right?
Okay.
So understanding what that love language may be outside of conversation. Mm. So, you know, maybe he shows affection not by touch, but maybe he shows affection by feeding you. Or, you know, buying you a present here and there or whatever it may be, or
sharing time.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, no, you're right, because the actions always speak loud in volume.
Mm-hmm. Very loud in volumes. Yep.
Yeah. So the clues is there.
Mm-hmm. My husband's part of the love language was bringing my feminine self to him.
Mm.
And in doing that, I was able to communicate more. I didn't have to be a boss at home. Mm-hmm. And so, and that is one of the greatest forms of communications for me with a man. You know, bringing your feminine self to him. You know, being open to his lead. You know, when a man has a vision and a plan and he can tell you how to get there, you've got something.
Yeah.
And learning how to follow that lead, listen, and bring your feminine side to his masculine side, I think is one of the greatest forms of communication. Mm-hmm. So for my husband, that was a part of my love language. The feminine me, not the boss me, not the executive, not the whatever else, the feminine side of me, the soft side of me, and being open to and respecting his lead. That's a love language for me.
And that's something that's usually shared. I was in a conversation today where someone I'm working with actually told me that, like, I want a soft-spoken woman.
Mm.
So I imagine if he got a chick that was being bossy, that wouldn't work too well.
Mm-hmm. But also, I'm glad you brought that up, Charity, because oftentimes, women or whomever, you know, they like to change themselves to meet the standards of whomever their significant partner may be. And that is a big no-no in my opinion. Yes. So if your significant other's love language is a soft-spoken woman, to your point, and you know you're not a soft-spoken woman, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, and I'm not saying don't work on yourself for you, but don't change yourself, you know, to meet whomever that is, your significant partner standards, because then you'll go down a rabbit hole and lose yourself. So why would you want to do that just to meet this standard? Maybe, you know, you are or not a good fit because that's not who you are. And meeting each other's love language also means that, you know, you're building a puzzle. You want that piece to fit into that other piece. And I think that, you know, a lot of that gets lost too. Like, oh, well, he wants, you know, a woman that stays at home and, you know, a Susie homemaker or, you know, what, however you categorize it. Mm-hmm. And you're just not that, you're a working woman. Then, you know, why would you dim your light for someone else's to shine? And I think focusing on yourself first and understanding who you are and not losing that when you get into a relationship is important, is equally as important than understanding, you know, your significant other's love language.
I agree totally. I think that there, I think a more in-depth conversation is needed at that point where when we start to feel that we need to change who we are. So like, for instance, what can we do to work this out? If you feel this way about me traveling, can you travel with me? Or whatever. You
the compromise.
Do. Yes. Yes. I think that
the
it
compromise.
Can.
I think the failure in communication happens because we don't listen. We have a hard time listening. And that's a fact. Women have a hard time listening. Now, there may be many variables to that as to why, but the reality of it is women have a hard time listening. I don't want to be in a position to take, to be in charge. If I'm working all day and I'm in a position where I'm in a leadership position, I want to come home and be the leader too. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So our love language is just as important, but men are saying they get that, they understand that, and they work to meet that. So my question is for the audience as well, and we have one, as well as for Charity and Jasna. What do you, in meeting his love language, do you think that's important?
Yes. No brainer.
Okay. That's a resounding.
It's yes. A must. It's a must.
Okay.
It's a must. I think what men confuse as what they want in a relationship or in a woman or whomever, they confuse that with, you know, what that love language is. Like, what makes you happy in your significant other? You know, what can they do, you know, on a consistent basis to, you know, bring that happiness and joy into your being? And I think, honestly, that's what a love language is. Like, bringing happiness into my being and pouring into me and my needs. And me doing it for you as well. And I think that's a big part of it, you know, just understand. First of all, you have to understand who you're with, right?
Whoa, baby, back and up. Then, that's a can of worms.
And we're going to I'm just saying that's the you're first point. Understanding who you're with.
Knowing and who then, you're
with. And then understanding what those needs are for that person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things people do a lot, and I'm side railing here for a minute, I'm going to segue back in. The term narcissist applies to men and women. But yes. Particularly, it's been thrown around a lot for men. And to some degree, I think that's unfair. And I think it's unfair because I know for a fact if you got into his head before you got into his bed, you would know him a little bit better. And I think that what has happened is, I'm a woman, so I'm speaking for women, right? Mm-hmm. I think what has happened is women jump into bed before they know what's in the head and the heart. They don't know the character. So they get involved with a man who may be a psychopath, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, he's a narcissist. No, baby, he was always who he was.
Okay.
You missed the message and the signals because you got in his bed before you got in his head and his heart.
Yeah.
So I think that we mislabel so often in relationships. But Jasna said it best. You have to know who they are. So prior to ponying up, are hooking up, are net and chilling, you might want to take the time to get to know who the man is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that is only getting in their bed, though, right? Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of women, they, you know, they focus on, or men too, or, you know, however you identify. I think that a lot of us focus on what society says, right? Rather than what we need internally. And I don't think it's just by getting in whomever's bed and not knowing who that person is. I think a lot of us get into this realm of, oh, we need to be married by a certain point. We need to be in a relationship by a certain point. And, oh, I'm 38 or I'm 40. What, you know, when is my man coming? And then they get in denial of who whomever that person is just because they want to be.
Yeah.
Right. Just because they want to be in, you know, what society says that you're supposed to be at a certain age.
So they're being managed by social media.
Absolutely. I think majority of us are managed by social media, men and women. You know, we let society dictate our life. And that's why the divorce rate is so high. That's why, you know, you don't see, you know, couples lasting as they're supposed to last.
Right.
Because they're so wrapped up in what society says that they're in denial. They may not sleep with whomever their significant other may be for let's give it 6 months.
Okay.
Right. And then all of those narcissistic behaviors are happening, but because I want this so bad, I'm willing to like blank it all out. I'm willing to cut it all out in order to be with this person. And then when it gets worse, it's like, oh wow, like, you know, he or she is a narcissist. No, you just have ignored all of the signs for the past 6 months.
Come on now.
Because that's right. you want this and you want it bad. And you don't want right. people to, oh, I don't want people to think, you know, I'm scared of what people will think if we break up or whatever the case is. No, I'm not tolerating. I had a great parent household. I had a great mother, two great dads, and my standards are high. I'm not tolerating anything. And I don't really care who knows, like, you know, we could be married and in a relationship for 40 years. If it's not bringing me any more peace, if I don't see any reconciliation, I'm out. My happiness is number one. And then comes his.
The social media has created Hollywood. And mm-hmm. in Hollywood, people miss love languages.
They miss it all.
Signals. They miscommunicate. They will do any and everything. You have people imitating celebrity couples. And mm-hmm. that's okay. As long as they're actually living that life. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I think we learn to let people live. But I also
hear anyone speak of that when you're on social media. You rarely hear folks speak on love languages, because love languages mm-hmm. is an intentional thing, a purposeful thing
that people have to do.
Yes. Yeah. It's so work.
How can they do
it's
love
work is required
when mm-hmm. they're skipping everything else because they're being taken hostage by social media.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it possible, you know, and I want to get back to the topic, how is it possible to communicate effectively and know a love language when you don't know the person? It's all about the Hollywood standard that you've created on social media. And I tell people this all the time. So be mindful, my audience, now and in the future. Everything you see is not what it is. The second part is, if people were doing that great, they wouldn't have to tell you all the time. So, you know, don't compare yourself to other people. A love language is not only important, but it's mandatory for any successful relationship. It's mandatory. Yes. And if you don't know his, he says he's working on yours. Most men say that. I'm working on it. I want to get her love language right. I want to know who she is. I want to do this and I want to do that. But I'm talking about the men. Do the women know and understand that men have and need love language too? I say it's scarce. What saith you?
I think that women understand what love language is, right? Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. that they understand it a little bit better than men, just because, you know, what society says that what role a man is supposed to play and what role a woman is supposed to play. And I think that women do understand that, but I think that relationships have become so hostile and so, I can't find the word, but
Hollywood. So Hollywood.
So posed.
So posed. Right? So capping.
So posed. Like, yeah. Oh, you know, we have it all together. We're so happy. But you're lacking. You're literally lacking in your relationship because you don't understand your partner and you don't know what that is. So I think women know. I also think men know. We're in a society where, you know, we're more vocal, you know, about love and about relationships and about, you know, individuality. And, you know, you can be with whomever you want to be. I think mm-hmm. men know as well. But the conversation needs to be in that individual relationship, whatever that relationship may be. So we can't focus on, you know, a Charity and her significant other, or an Annette and your significant other, we have to focus on what works for us. What works for you may not work for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So everybody, and that's what society is pouring over us. Like, oh, yes, you're supposed to be this way. And no, that's not the case.
I think that a lot of the confusion has happened. For example, now I'm talking about women because I'm a woman, right? I think the confusion has happened because, for example, when a man gets a woman that has been everywhere and he settles down with her, mm-hmm. she thinks she has a prize, when in fact she has an overused ship that has sailed to almost every port and is worn and torn. And that's a reality. But we tend to focus on all the wrong things. And so in getting to men, and hey, Christina, Cinco Sass, my girl.
Annette, I think there's something that we haven't addressed, and you touched on when you were talking about social media. A lot of people don't really want relationships. But the people that want relationships are kind of, they're aware of love languages, because once again, it's an intentional thing, and this is what they want. They want to be in a long-term relationship. You have to really want that to even apply what we're talking about, because it's, you know, folks want people to pay their bills and folks want to be loved on. Let's keep it clean. Right? So
love language. So they're interested in the heads and the beds and the bills being paid, as opposed to a love language and an opportunity to build a partnership and something significant.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. And that's why love languages aren't being practiced, because then you have the, it didn't work out. We're getting a divorce, or we're not together.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, because I know
it's miscommunication too. Mm-hmm. A lot of miscommunication that goes on. You know, you live a certain way behind camera, and then you get on camera. And I feel like that's what messes up a lot of relationships. You know, you want to cold switch. When you're off camera and off social media, it is one way. And that may be okay with you. But then when you get on social media, like, you're a totally different, you know, way in your relationship. And I think that's honestly what destroys a lot of relationships. Society does not care about how well you're doing or how well your relationship is doing. They don't care. So for you to try and impress society with that, is falling on deaf ears. That's for you. That's not for them. They don't want to see you doing well. What social media user that doesn't know you cares about you posting how happy you are in your relationship? Even if you are, legitimately, they don't care. So there's no reason to, you know, impress them at all. And that's my entire take on it. I've always been, you know, I try and be a real person and a realist in what I do, and honestly what I post, because I am totally against all of that social media posing. Like, I don't like it. It's not beneficial to me or my relationship or anything that I have going on. Of course, I like posting my accolades and sharing it with people, and that's okay. But for me to, you know, get on social media and my relationship is in a crapper, and I get on like, oh, happy anniversary. If my relationship is in a crapper at the time, I'm not posting an anniversary. I don't care if it is my anniversary. And that's just me being real. Like, I do not care whatsoever, because I don't care about what people think. I'm trying to work on my relationship and what I have going on. And there's no point in me posting for you when I'm in a bad space.
So social media, we agree that social media has taken relationships hostage.
And the proof relationships, friendships, everything.
Everything.
It's taking it hostage.
They're capping on everything. So that's a given. As much as contact in the relationship is important. Mm-hmm. I think Sharon is such a diva. Harris, a friend of mine, says men seem to misunderstand a strong woman. That's a topic that we're going to get into another time, but she's right. Another blocker of communication is when men think their women are too strong. And that's where the feminine side of, ooh, we got some good comments in here, coming at. It says, also understand we're different. Men and women are not the same. No, they're absolutely not. They're not. Some people love you, but aren't in love with you. Having sex isn't love language. You can have sex with anyone. Sex is pleasurable. The love, oh, this keeps jumping. There's so many. The love language, but aren't in love with you. Having sex is pleasurable together. The love for one another is what makes, that's right. I don't know who this is. Your name doesn't come up. It just says Facebook user, but you're absolutely right. The love for one another is what makes the difference. I need to feel safe on every level. Yes. Mm-hmm. Sex will blind you. Yeah. You'll find out years later.
It's a huge blinder.
Love.
Something like love.
Love is sexy as hell. Okay, and then another user said, using the term love language is a new phenomenon today. Actually, it's been around for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It has been. Loving someone comes, Jasmine, you want to read this for me? 8:47 sure. p.m.
So I can't see the users either, but I guess I'll start.
With using the term love language.
So I think it boils down to the effort the woman is willing to put in based on all the other variables in society these days, what the outside people have to say. True.
Yeah.
I think it is more about vulnerability with each other and allowing that vulnerability to change throughout the relationship. Absolutely. Yes. I think what we said in the beginning of this podcast is that you're continuously learning your partner, and that love language will change. I think Charity pointed out that, you know, my love language today may not be the same tomorrow. So it's about continuously learning your partner. Both parties have to want it. Absolutely.
Yes.
Do relationships play out on social media? They absolutely do, in my opinion. It's also understanding we're different. Men and women are not the same. Some people love you but aren't in love with you. That's a big one.
We talked about that.
So
Winston Dramatic Mills, what did he say?
Hey, Winnie.
Let's see. We need to stop letting the communication of love languages to be generic and more specific. Absolutely. I think I said it earlier that love languages are not necessarily conformed in one box. It's not generic either, but it is broad. So what works for your relationship, you know, is for your relationship. You cannot compare what others' love languages may be in their relationships to what you have going on.
Yeah, that's right. And our conversation tonight has been about, do we know that men have a love language? How do we communicate it? What do we think about it? What would we add or take away to it? Everybody's love language is different. That's 100% right.
So there's a comment here that says, y'all are speaking from a position of one point to another in life. Some people in their early lives doesn't know they would have been together for X amount of years. We don't see what we want until we lose each other. You don't know what you have until it's gone.
That's true.
That's because they didn't learn them love languages, and now they don't have.
You didn't communicate. You didn't learn your love languages. Now it's just like, oh, what happened to my relationship? And you didn't have any communication and understanding.
So communication is, love language is simply communication. And when we talk about love language, we're not talking about specifically mine. I shared some ideas about mine, as did Charity and Jasna. However, everybody has their own love language. The question is for the audience too. Do you know what his love language is? And do you understand that he has one? And I agree. I understand that men have a love language. I understand that they need that love language too. And I think Jasna and Charity said the same thing. But Charity,
this is a good one. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm still looking at the chat. So someone says, how about asking a guy what he thinks his love language is? And if he doesn't know what love language is, teach him. We guys can learn. And I like this comment because that's what I did in my own relationship, in my own marriage. My husband did not know what love language meant at all. And
I was going to say that.
Ask him, and I also asked him to think about it, because in the moment he didn't know what that meant and what that was for him. And I kind of assumed what that was for him because I know what makes him happy, but he had to really reflect, and he did learn. So that comment is very much warranted.
Thank you for that. Absolutely. Go ahead, Charity.
I was going to ask, like, okay, we've identified that men have a love language. Who's responsible for identifying the love language? Like, if he don't know what his love language is, and as a partner, do we make this a discussion? Do we bring the different languages to his attention? Like, relationship is partnership. So if the other party don't know, there needs to be a conversation. And if they do know, there needs to be a conversation.
That's where the communication comes in, right?
Yeah, that's the communication.
So when we had the conversation, it was a great conversation because we were both learning in the moment. Like, I knew what love languages, you know, were, and I knew what mine was, but in asking him, it kind of, you know, allowed me to learn a little bit more. And that's what I'm saying about continuously learning your partner. So when we had that conversation, that was maybe, you know, a couple of months ago or last year sometime, somewhere around there. That may have changed for him, you know, to date. So it's continuously having that conversation with your partner when it's necessary and when it's warranted, because, you know, it just is what it is. But that's about learning your partner and who that person is.
And that's why it's such a big cap when women think they cook the prize and they say, because I know him, I know his love language. Well, his love language to you may be different than it was with the last person. But the idea is, how do you communicate?
Yeah.
And is it effective? And do you reach him? And when you reach him, does he know that you care? So that's what love language is about, communicating. There's no right or wrong way to do it. It's communicating. It's being able to communicate without touch. It's being able to reach into your partner's heart and mind and let them know that you're thinking about them, you care about them, and they're important to you. That's love language. How you display it, how you work it, how it works for you is how it works for you. And so there is no right or wrong way. It's simply communication. So let's wrap it up. We've been here almost an hour. And so, Charity, I'm going to let you go first and just wrap it up and tell us what you thought about tonight. And here's what I want you to know. The next podcast where we have this discussion is going to be with men and women.
Oh,
so it'll be us and them on the live having the discussion, because it is worthy of a discussion. And yes. So they've had their say, and they said, we're working on your love language. We want to please you. We want to be pleasing. But do you know we have one? And if you know we have one, how do you communicate it? So we're going to come together.
And that, let them know we're putting that work in, because we want them to feel loved. We want to hear about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why it's so important. They spoke, we spoke, now we speak together. Yes. Because it's so important for men to understand. And I'm going to bring Frank and Christina on, if they will allow. They are my producers from Trenton Waves. I want to bring them on because they have such a great relationship. And they communicate, and they don't know that I realize it. They communicate without speaking.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You can sit in their presence and see them communicate, Christina and Frank Sasso, without saying a word. That's communication. Yes. And when you know your partner and you know what it is you want and you love and you need, you can communicate like that. So come on, Charity, tell us about it. So we're going to let them know we're coming back together. I'm inviting you back, Charity, and Jasmine, I'm inviting you back. And we're going to have, you know, the men who are brave enough to come on to have the conversation, because I think what's missing is the communication between men and women.
Mm-hmm. The Venus and Mars effect.
Yeah. So when you talk about your business, and would you say the name again?
Dates Galore.
So when you talk about Dates Galore, what's one thing you would tell women about effective communication with men, the love language? What would you say?
I think one of my favorite questions when it comes to identifying what love language is needed for the moment would be, what is it that you need from me today?
Mm.
And that allows the other party to tell you, not necessarily the love language, but it is the love language of the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
What they need. Mm-hmm. And I think that alone makes the person feel like, you know, she's trying. And I do feel loved because she's asking me what I need.
She's listening.
Absolutely.
We don't listen, y'all. We have to listen more. Thank you. Thank you, Charity. Jasna?
So this conversation is great. I do think it needs to be some men on your panel so that we can have, you know, a greater discussion. But like I said before, I think, you know, the love language is just communication and just listening to your partner and listening to his or her needs, you know, and what they need out of the relationship and, you know, acting on it too. So you can't just have a conversation and then just leave it on deaf ears. I think it needs to, you know, be exuded throughout the entire relationship. And I think, you know, that's what works. Relationships are work. You know, whether you're married, going to be married, you're in a boyfriend-girlfriend situation, it's continuous work. And that work involves effective communication. Communication can be effective if you're not acting out what each other needs. And I think that kind of sums it up for me, or what that means for me in my relationship.
I think that's important. I think that what you both said is resounding in. It's real. It's real. It's, you know, we're not capping here. It's real. And to get back to the strong woman point from Sharon, such a diva Harris, I want men to know who are listening now and who will listen later, because thousands of people are going to listen to this. I'll show you the numbers later. They don't always come on live, but they listen later. And here's what I want men to know. Having a strong woman doesn't make you weak. It means that you have a partner who is grounded and knows how to go get that bag and partner in the relationship to help ensure success. So a strong woman shouldn't be intimidating. She should be uplifting. And when the man is on solid ground, that's what you get. He knows what it is. I believe in men. I believe in their ability to lead. I believe in their ability to love. And that's because I've had it. So I know what it looks like and feels like. I want to thank my guest here tonight. Again, I'm Annette here at Word on the Curb podcast. We're on YouTube. Put our business in the street. Yeah, we're asking you to do that this time. And tonight, we are rounding up the women's part of a man's love language because the men spoke to it. The next time we're together, we're going to bring the men and women together. And then we're going to bring Chastity on. Charity. Chastity. That's her new name in the dating world, Chastity.
Yep.
There's a meaning to that. But she's Charity. And Charity has dating galore. And
we're going to come galore.
Dates galore. We're going to talk about dates galore. We're going to talk about what dating looks like. We're going to talk about why women find dating so difficult. We're going to talk about why men aren't interested in dating. We're going to talk about all of it. But tonight, we were talking about his love language. And if you know what it means. So look for us again because we're going to pop up. We're going to advertise. And the men and the women are going to sit in the studio. And we're going to talk about love language, what they think, what we think, and how we come together on it. I want to thank you again. Chastity and Jasna are both business owners. And as I
Charity.
Said, Charity. Charity and Charity Chastity. She's the CC. She's the boss of Dates Galore. Okay?
That's right.
Charity is a boss in her world. As is Jasna. And what I want you to know is these women are women who mean business. Small businesses make the world go round. Join a business, and when you see a successful woman, ask her how she's doing it. Don't talk behind her back. Speak to her in her face and find out what it takes to do what it is she's doing. We are Word on the Curb podcast. And again, thank you for sharing your time with us. Gentlemen, we're going to be reaching out to bring you on the podcast. We can seat 10 people in the virtual studio. Don't be scared it. Don't be scared it.
On the curb.
About Word on the Curb podcast studios. And we're talking about love language. You don't have to be scared. Get in where you fit in. Thank you again for joining us this evening, Jasna and Charity. I got it right.
Yes, you did.
I got it right. Sometimes I get it right, even in dating. Thank you for joining me this evening. Have a great evening. Put our business in the street. Hit that like, subscribe, and share on YouTube. And ring the bell, baby. You can ring my bell.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Nobody you likes too. Me. I don't get it. Thank you, Charity. Thank you, Jasna. Good night.
Thanks for having me in it. Good night.
I want to have you back again to talk about Dates Galore.
I'm here for it. I meant to say you can follow me also on YouTube at Dates Galore. Hit the subscribe button, turn the notifications on.
Put it in the comments.
I definitely will.
Put it in the comments. We're all about advertising small businesses and we're all about having the conversations and we're still live. And I just want to thank you for joining us this evening. So say it again, because we're still live. They can find you where?
On YouTube under Dates Galore.
Dates Galore. And so women say they're having trouble dating and men say they're having trouble finding a date. So after we come together on love language as men and women, we're going to have the discussion about dating.
Yes, please have me here for that. That's what I'm into.
Listen, it's Word on the Curb, and Word on the Curb is real. Word on the Curb podcast is real. We are trademarking, we are under application, and we want you to know that. Have a good evening, and thank you again for joining me here with Charity and Jasna.